right, everyone, let's open our Bibles together, please, to 2 Kings chapter 11. 2 Kings 11. Our text for tonight's message is verses 13 through 16. And if you're accustomed to taking notes and have any interest in it, the cross-reference to what we're considering tonight from 2 Kings 11, 13 through 16 is found in 2 Chronicles 23, verses 12 through 15. So there you get basically the same information with a little more detail, actually, in 2 Chronicles, and we'll mention some of that tonight. 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. And why don't we begin by reading verse 12 included in our text. And he brought forth the king's son, and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony. And they made him king, and anointed him. And they clapped their hands, and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people and to the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went the way by the which the horses came into the king's house. And there was she slain. Lord, thank you for another Lord's Day. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine that we've enjoyed today and the opportunities that we've had to worship in your presence, to fellowship with one another, to be spiritually encouraged, and we trust physically, emotionally refreshed today. Lord, as we open your word, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts. We ask for the quickening power of your spirit in every aspect of our time in your word. May you be honored throughout the remainder of this evening. And I pray that you would encourage your people tonight. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for giving the Hudsons now 42 years of marriage. We pray that you continue to strengthen their relationship and build that marriage. I pray that you do the same likewise in my family. Please bless our time now as we study your word, Lord. And may we honor you by the way we present it and respond to it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. After murdering her own grandsons, Athaliah, whose name means afflicted of the Lord, had seized the throne of Judah, and she reigned for a period of 6 years. Now, being the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, we'll find later in this passage, this chapter of Scripture, that Athaliah had worshipped Baal. And she had led even the southern kingdom of Judah to do the same. And so this woman, Athaliah, her time in leadership, her reign over Judah, would have been a period of mourning, a period of sorrow for the true people of God. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that would have been the case when Athaliah sat on the throne of Judah, again, leading God's people, even the southern kingdom that we typically think as the, you know, the faithful group, even they are being involved in Baal worship because, and largely because of this wicked woman's influence. And so for 6 long years, it appeared that evil had triumphed. It appeared that God's promise to David that his seed would sit on the throne of Judah, it appeared that God's promise had failed. However, as we have considered in earlier messages, the Lord had very supernaturally and providentially preserved the life of Joash, whom many Bible scholars believe was the sole surviving son, the sole surviving seed among the royal descendants of David. So he is preserved, and after being hidden in the temple for a period of 6 years, Joash is crowned king over Judah. The people find out that God's promise had not failed. He had been faithful all along, even though they themselves had not been a large portion of that time. But the tide had turned. God's people, rather than mourning, now we find them rejoicing at the revelation of the King, the true King. David's seed has been revealed, and the people are excited. Tonight, for our message, we're going to be very brief, I trust, but we're going to consider this thought together, an unthreatened throne. An unthreatened throne. We're going to see how this woman, Athaliah, who, if she had lived, if she had been allowed to live, she would have threatened the life and throne of Joash. And so this woman is going to be executed, thereby securely establishing Joash's throne over Judah. It will indeed be an unthreatened throne. What we learn tonight from our scripture text is going to remind us, first of all, that God is in control of whatever happens in this world. Even when it seems like things are out of control, God is ultimately in control of what happens in this world. He is going to keep His promises, and in the end, all evil is going to be put down when the King of Kings is revealed to reign in peace over the earth. And we look forward to that time. So let's consider two main ideas in our text tonight. We'll note, first of all, the exciting of Athaliah, and then secondly, the executing of Athaliah. So let's begin with that thought, the exciting of Athaliah. It's really tied to verses 13 and 14 of our text. We've read that. I want to read the cross-reference. It's 2 Chronicles 23, verses 12 and 13. And here's what those scripture verses say. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people and to the house of the Lord. And she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, "Treason, treason." So the celebration at the king's coronation not only included the people's clapping their hands and shouting, "God save the king," or "Long live the king," but as we read in our text in verses 13 and 14, as well as 2 Chronicles 23, we find that there was also the blowing of trumpets, there was the playing of musical instruments, there was singing, there was even running in church, there was running in the temple, and people praising the king. Truly, there hadn't been this much noise in Jerusalem since Athaliah last chewed out her dear deceased husband, Joram. This was an exciting time, and as Athaliah on this afternoon sits in a dark, smoke-filled living room watching a soap opera, she suddenly hears all this commotion coming from the temple, which, by the way, was very near to her house. And so she hears this, she becomes all excited by the commotion that she hears, and so she goes to the outer court of the temple to the people to find out what's going on. It's interesting, as far as Athaliah's record in Scripture is concerned, we never read about her coming to the temple, even though she basically lived right next door to it. She didn't come to church, even though she was like right there, didn't come to the temple, but now she does finally come to the temple, probably the first time in many years. As she enters the temple, she looks and she sees the king. She sees a child, a seven-year-old young man, standing with a crown on his head, standing very stately by a pillar in the temple. He has at his side an armed guard. When she sees this, she certainly must be shocked. Again, this has been kept secret from her for at least 6 years. You know, she could have sworn that she killed all of her grandsons, but lo and behold, one is still alive, and he has been crowned king. And so seeing this, instead of repenting of her sins Instead of surrendering up the throne and submitting herself to Joash as David's rightful heir, this wicked woman cries out two words. Maybe she cackled it or hacked it out. She says, "Treason! Treason!" Now, Athaliah's protest was, of course, filled with hypocrisy because this woman had illegally seized the throne by treason and murder. She had murdered and slain all of the rightful heirs to the throne, and she made herself queen. That's treason. Those who commit awful sins are often very quick to condemn others while being blind to their own wickedness. Here's the pot calling the kettle black, when in fact there was no blackness to what had taken place regarding Joash. It could not be considered treason when Joash, who was David's rightful heir, is placed on the throne, not just by the people, but by divine right. If there ever was such a thing, this was a case where this was his position by divine right. God placed him there. But again, Athaliah, she gets all excited. She gets stirred up by all the commotion that she sees, and she discovers what it's all about. One of the grandsons that she thought she had slain has survived. He has been crowned king. And secondly, tonight, there's the executing of Athaliah. Again, it's seen in verses 15 and 16 of our text. I'd like to read from 2 Chronicles 23, 14, and 15, just to give you, again, the other perspective there. It says, "Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host, and said unto them, Have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, Slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there." So Jehoiada the high priest had not only wisely prepared for the security and success of placing Joash on the throne, but he was also prepared for what could be expected. He expected this woman, Athaliah, to cause trouble. And so he's already got in place at least 500 armed guardsmen, and he's ready to handle Athaliah's temper tantrum and hissy fit. And when she begins to cry out in the outer court of the temple, "Treason, treason," Jehoiada says to the captains of the guard, we know that there were five of them, they're captains of hundreds, most likely every one of them is there for this special detail, and he says, "Have her for without the ranges." In other words, I want you to lead her out within your ranks, take her outside of the temple, and execute her. And anyone that is following her, anyone that's showing support for her, sympathy for her, they are to be slain with her. Since we're not going to let her be slain in the house of the Lord. Of course, you know, Jehoiada is the high priest, and he has high respect for the house of God, for the temple, but also he's like, I don't want to have to clean up that mess. I mean, you know, after she's executed here, take her outside and do it out there. The executing of Athaliah. Well, this woman, when she sees, again, 500 armed guards, and the high priest gives orders, and every one of them do exactly what he says, without question, she realizes that she is in a bad situation. She's the queen, but she has no authority over these guardsmen. They're not going to listen to her. They are following Jehoiada's orders to the specifics. And she also realizes that there's no way of escape. I mean, where is she going to go? She is not going to try to flee. She can't do that. And so as we read on in our text, the guard easily seized this woman, Athaliah. They take her outside the temple. They take her again in the temple, and the palace were very near to one another. The palace was just south of the temple, so they lead her out that way. And they take her to the horse gate. This is interesting. This is the place where horses entered and exited the palace complex. This was kind of like the parking garage. This was the garage to the temple complex. And so she's going that way. They lead her there, and they slay her near the entry of the horse gate. The horse gate, again, is an interesting place. It would have been littered with mud and manure. Okay, this is not a clean place. This is where the horses are constantly coming in and out. It's probably filthy. Manure, mud, other things. And so here this wicked witch falls dead. They execute her. It's interesting, just as her mother Jezebel was slain and then trampled by Jehu's horse. You remember that? She's pushed out the second story window, hits the ground, splatters paint everywhere. And Jehu, just to make sure that they finish the job, he drives her horse up on her and, you know, kind of backs over and makes sure that she's finished. So she is trampled by horses. And here this daughter of Jezebel is also slain at the entry of the horse gate. We don't read of anyone else being slain with her, which tells us at this point she has no allies. There's no one that says, oh, I'm going to stand up for Athaliah. She's such a wonderful lady. No. There's no one that follows her, no one supporting her, no one slain with her, at least at this immediate time. And so we go back to our initial thoughts and comments tonight. For six long years, it looked like this woman was getting her way. And in a sense, she did. Can you imagine living under that? Athaliah sitting on the throne, doing as she pleases. But finally, payday someday had arrived. She who had killed her own grandsons with the sword is killed with the sword. And though the wicked seem to prosper and get their way, the Lord is above them. He is in control. And in His time, He will punish the wicked and He will vindicate the righteous. And so our response as followers of the Lord, servants of the Lord, is this: we can trust the Lord. He's in control. He really is in control. And we can commit ourselves to doing good. We're not going to go the way of the wicked. It may seem like it's prospering for a while, but it's not going to end up that way. We're not going to go that way. And we can wait, patiently wait, for the Lord's good will to be brought to pass. And that's what Psalm 37 is all about. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And that is true in our world today. We can just rest in the Lord and do good. His will is going to be done. But finally, as we've also seen some parallels in the revealing of Joash as David's seed, as the rightful heir, the revealing of the king, and the revealing of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, just as it was here when Joash is revealed as king and wicked Athaliah is removed, so that the throne might be unthreatened. So when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in glory to reign over this earth, it's going to be a time of celebration for the righteous, and it's also going to be a time when the Lord removes all threats to His throne. He will reign on an unthreatened throne. He will put down all wickedness, all evil. He will reign in true peace on earth for 1,000 years. Among the wicked that will be put down is the devil. Revelation describes it at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. The Lord, an angel, is going to take Satan. He's going to bind him with a chain, a spiritual chain, and bind him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, he's going to be loose for a short season. He'll go out and deceive the nations, those that entered into the millennial kingdom. They were the remnant of those that were not saved, but were not slain or killed during the wrath of the day of the Lord. He's going to stir them up to come up against the Lord in the final battle. And there was not going to really be much of a battle. The Lord's going to send fire out, consume them immediately. And then the book of Revelation describes Satan's final put down, when he's going to be cast in the lake of fire with the false prophet, with the Antichrist, and those who worship them, they will be tormented in the lake of fire forever and ever. Satan's going to be put down. That's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day to live on the earth, a renewed, restored, revitalized earth for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. No elections, no fake news. It's going to be great. It's just going to be peace. We're going to have new bodies. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. I mean, there's going to be lots of good things to look forward to. And we can rejoice in that. And perhaps one of the best parts of it is this, is that we're not going to be tempted to sin. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. And it's going to be exciting. Doesn't that encourage us then to just hold on? Just keep pressing on. Just be faithful, because the King's going to be revealed. And when the King is revealed, evil is going to be removed and we're going to rejoice. So we can keep pressing on. We can be good soldiers. We can take it. We can endure whatever God allows us to endure, because we know the victory is His. We've won. The battle is already won. And we want to be faithful so that when Jesus reigns on the earth, we will reign with Him. And we'll be very thankful in that day that we've been faithful to our Lord. Paul would later describe in 1 Corinthians 15 of Jesus Christ, "For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." That's another one that's going to be removed. Even death itself is going to be forever banished. Those are good days. We look forward to that. So no matter how dark, no matter how difficult, no matter how discouraging things may be in this age, in this world for God's people, no matter who's running the show, it seems, and sitting on the throne, we have hope. We have an unfailing hope in knowing that in His time, the Lord will reveal Himself as the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He will put down all wickedness. He will reign in righteousness and peace over the earth. So let's trust Him. Let's do good. Let's wait patiently for His return when we'll reign with Him. Lord, thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that we are on the winning side. We thank You that we serve the King of kings and Lord of lords. We know that His kingdom cannot fail. His word cannot fail. And Jesus shall reign over this earth. We look forward to that day. We pray along with the Apostle John, "Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come quickly, Lord Jesus." But I pray You'd help us to be faithful until then. Lord, help us to be good soldiers. Help us not to shame our colors, to shame Your colors, Lord. Help us not to sin. Help us to be faithful, and help us to win others, to be followers of the King of Kings. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question? First of all, have you made peace with God by repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord? Is Jesus your King today? Does He reign over your heart? Are you on His side? Have you taken up sides with Jesus Christ? Are you following Him? How many tonight would say, "Preacher, I'm thankful. Tonight as I sit here, I am a true servant of the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm not ashamed of that." Would you testify by quietly raising your hand tonight? You'd say, "Yes, I know the Lord. Thank you." If you're unable to raise your hand, would you right now just open your heart and receive the Lord? Join His side. Repent of sins. Turn from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for His Son from heaven. Is there anyone that would say, "Preacher, I need to make that decision tonight"? By raising my hand, that's what I'm indicating. I'm saying I want to receive Christ right here and right now. Anyone at all, you'd raise your hand. That's your decision. All right, Christian, again, don't be discouraged. God is over all. He is above the wicked, even when it seems that they get their way, and even for extended periods of time. Live rejoicing and your king. He reigns now in heaven above. He is going to reign over all the earth, and you can be loyal to his return until his return. Let's do that. Again, Lord, thank you for the encouragement from your word. Please help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.